Welcome back to Wake Up Call.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Time now for Buy or Sell.
Buy or Sell.
Oh, I love Buy or Sell. So we're going to do the NCAA Tournament edition of Buy or Sell.
And we haven't done one in a while.
We haven't done one in a while.
We haven't done one since NFL playoffs or right before the Super Bowl.
Playoffs. Yep, exactly. So this is the NCAA Tournament Elite 8,
Sweet 16, Elite 8.
Buy or Sell. You know,
just what we kind of observed over this past weekend.
Yes, exactly. All right, let's go.
All right, so here we go. Number one, Houston's dismantling of Syracuse's 2-3 zone defense should send a message that they're the team to beat in this tournament.
Yes, but Gonzaga is just, I think, playing the best basketball of anybody in the Elite Eight. Double-digit. They're averaging like 25 points a win. I mean, the margin is insane. Now, granted, they have not had to go through some of the tougher opponents that were predicted. But, man, that was an impressive performance of what Houston did against Syracuse.
They didn't look bothered by it at all.
And I've been watching on Twitter about people, following people from Houston where the network is located, getting a sense of where that program was a couple of years ago. Like I was reading some people's stories about Calvin Sampson on campus begging people to go to games, trying to get people tickets to games.
Yeah.
And nobody was going, and nobody was interested, and now he's got them a game away from the Final Four. I think that's pretty awesome. That's pretty awesome. You don't hear those kind of stories from programs where the coach is like, please, please, come watch our guys play. Come watch your school play basketball. And everyone's like, nah, I got something else to do.
Right.
Right? And then he's like, okay, we'll build this up until you're ready to come see us.
I know. He's building a type of program that's soon. I mean, they just got a remodeled arena, but it's the type of program where they would go and like, oh, no, we're going to install this gigantic obscene arena now because this is must-see basketball.
Didn't Tillman Fertitta do something there?
He did all right at the Fertitta Center.
Yeah, okay, very good.
Let's face it. They're the better basketball team in the city right now.
Yeah, that's very true. 22 of 24 losses for the Rockets. Godly, it's crazy.
Oh, man.
Insane. All right, what's the next one?
Number two, no ACC teams in the Elite Eight proves that this conference was overrated this season.
I'm gonna buy that.
That's a tough one.
I like Georgia Tech, but they weren't national championship good. They weren't Elite Eight good. Florida State had two players last year that went on in the NBA. They were good, but they weren't as good as they used to be. And still, they were near the top of the conference almost all year. Virginia, sure. But that's it, really? I mean, North Carolina had a mediocre year. Duke had a terrible year.
Yeah.
I mean, who else? Louisville didn't even make it. So, yeah, it's difficult because, again, I hate using the tournament barometer to determine the value of a conference. But in this case, it was overrated. It wasn't as good as we probably thought.
Yeah, well, because I think going into any basketball season, we already said, well, the ACC is going to have eight teams.
Right, sure.
And we just assume right away.
You would expect at least one or two that's left over because they're so good. Yeah, but they're no. Not when, when Georgia Tech, Virginia Tech had to bow out because of VCU, Virginia Tech had Virginia had to bow out of the ACC tournament, right? They couldn't play in the ACC tournament that one game.
Yeah.
It was a mess, so yeah. All right, what's the next one?
The best and worst thing about this tournament has been Oral Roberts. Great for a 15 seed to shock the tournament, but they also gave us horrible pun tweets that we won't miss.
Yeah, I'm buying that. That was the jokes were getting old after a while.
Yeah.
I was like, if you want to make a joke about Oral Roberts, make it in the round one, maybe round two. But when you're doing it, you've had a week, and then you play like a little less than a week, and then you're doing it again in their third round game. Nah, we're done with you. That's enough. But yes, it was. I am willing to take a mea culpa here. I really thought they were going to get slaughtered by Arkansas.
Yeah.
I mean,
that basket, oh, God, good clean look, and it just didn't fall.
It should have dropped. There was no reason it didn't drop other than it took a funky bounce. It wasn't offline. It was.
Nope.
It looked good the moment he released it. And he got a fantastic look, almost he was pretty much a clean look. I mean, didn't get no hands in his face.
Yeah.
Got it off. He makes that shot from there all the time. And he thought it was good. He thought he... Can you imagine the feeling of launching that and that feel when that ball's traveling, thinking like, we're going to the Elite Eight. I just won this game.
Yep.
And bounce, bounce, done. That's it. It's over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
sad.
Crushing.
And crushing. And on the flip side, Eric Musselman watching that thing launch, all the basketball games he's witnessed in his lifetime.
It had to have gone slow-mo.
He had to have been like, oh, no, because it looked fantastic.
Yeah.
It looks
fantastic.
Going
like, I can't believe we just became the latest victim of Oral Roberts as he's seeing that ball sail.
Yeah. So, yeah, enough with the puns, but good. They were a fun, fun, fun story.
Yep.
And Max, look, Steph Curry had this happen to him. Ja Morant had this happen to him. I think Max Asemus can carry on, have a name now, a real name that people will remember. It was that good of a tournament. All right, the next one.
All right, number four. Nate Oates needs to ask the squad to do one activity this offseason. Shoot free throws all summer long.
Okay. I'm going to say this. Listen, I'm not naive. I get it. Okay, but here's my thing. Remember in the movie Hoosiers where Gene Hackman measures the distance to the basket and measures the distance to the free throw line? That has been the line and the distance your entire life playing basketball.
They've never adjusted it once.
Never adjusted it. It is 15 feet out, 10 feet high. It is not 17 feet in certain places and 13 feet high in some arenas. And some places you have to shoot it sideways. And sometimes the basket's tilted like at a carnival. It's the same distance since the second you started playing basketball as a child. How they missed all those free throws is it happened to every guy.
You figure, sure, this guy's like a 60% shooter. Oh, well, he'll go up there and miss. And you throw up an 80% shooter. He didn't make them either.
It's one thing to have one guy like, man, it's not my night, man. I'm just struggling. That's coming off my wrist a little too hard. Every player for Alabama couldn't hit these things.
Yeah,
like,
and then on the flip
atrocious.
Side, then on the flip side, you're watching UCLA just knock them one right after another. Boom, boom, boom.
No wonder
boom,
they thought
boom,
they were going to win in overtime. They're probably like, all right, another 5 minutes of them missing everything that we give them at the line. Nick Cronin still should have fouled. He'd be like, you're not hitting them. Why would you hit them now? Right?
It was laughable, and I felt bad for Alabama.
11 for 25 but, from the free throw line.
I mean, and what, like 0 for or 1 for 7, 1 for 8 in overtime?
Yeah, atrocious.
I mean,
absolutely atrocious.
It was horrible.
Atrocious, yes. Shoot free throws.
All right, but on that note, one thing that this tournament has proven, we all slept on how strong the Pac-12 really is.
Yeah, that's, we've been talking about this morning. Should the Pac-12 have gotten more credit? Now, I said no because I didn't think they were that impressive, but you can't, look. They've got three teams left, man. I mean, that's amazing. That is
really is.
Impressive for this conference that everyone wasn't staying up to watch, right? I mean, that and UCLA, God bless them, are plowing through everybody they're playing because there's something about them right now, right? I mean, Michigan State, BYU, Abilene Christian, Alabama. If I'm Michigan, I'm paying very close attention to this Bruins team.
Yeah.
Because they don't seem to care who they're playing. And likewise, Oregon State, Oregon State is a perfect example of, yeah, you know what? You can have a lousy season. And if you they went 10-10 in conference play, Oregon State.
Yep.
Get to the conference tournament. If you win that thing, you get to come to the party. And what you do at the party is up to you. And Oregon State's like, fine, we'll keep winning basketball games.
Once you get hot, you get hot.
That's right. And that's the thing, right?
Yep.
There are two schools of thought when you go to conference tournaments. One, get hot at your conference tournament and stay that way to the tournament, or get the hell out of it, because if you get an automatic berth or you get an invite anyway, get out of there so you have rest and refocus. Oregon State had no wiggle room. They had to win that thing to get in, and they did, and now they're a win away from the Final Four.
And sticking with that, the NCAA is justified having play-in games as UCLA advanced into the Elite Eight.
I don't like the play-in game, but I now understand. I understand more and more every year why they're doing it. They're with, they're They would love to expand this, but they can't. They can't. They're not going to 128. You know, they're not going to do that. This is the only way a little expansion is acceptable. And they're doing. And you know what? I don't like, and I still don't like Michigan State playing UCLA. I think if you're an 11 seed, you should automatically be punched in. But they're basically catering to us saying, look, you don't want to see the Atlantic Sun champion face the Patriot League champion. Or they're trying to say these playing games, at least there's a little something to enjoy. And giving us UCLA is fine. UCLA like VCU trying to get to the Final Four from the play-in game. Well done. One more?
Finally, yep, all one right. more. Somewhere in the U.S., Bill Walton is sitting on his front porch looking over a nation, much like Thanos in Endgame, knowing his prediction of five Pac-12 teams into the Final Four was more accurate than we gave him credit for.
You know what? What if it is? What seriously, what if three Pac-12 teams are in the Final Four?
We could have three Pac-12 teams and Houston.
What if Oregon State, UCLA, and USC are in?
No, it wouldn't be Houston because, I guess, between Baylor and Arkansas.
Yeah, it would be Baylor, Arkansas. That would be the only team that would be there. And then everybody else would be Pac-12 teams. And what a year. Seriously, what a year for Los Angeles, man.
Yeah.
What a calendar year for Los Angeles.
Well, you know what? It really is just two regions of the country when you think about it.
It really is.
Yeah, it's just too bad that Toronto won't be there yet the Raptors. Because I guess not really Toronto, just the Raptors won't be there towards the end because, I mean, it's just either been L.A. or Tampa.
It really has. It's been L.A. or Tampa. Now, you know, Tampa's probably got the biggest sports prize, the Super Bowl, but a World Series, an NBA championship, and two L.A. schools in the Elite Eight? God bless the city of angels.
And then give it up for the West Coast.
That's right.
You know, we don't stay up late to watch these games, and this is what we miss.
That's true. You're absolutely right.
We don't give Eddie credit because, I mean, we got four West Coast teams.
All right, we'll come back. We'll get some tweets as we continue with Wake Up Call Sports Map Radio.